Good afternoon, everybody. What a nice crowd to see of folks interested in draft quality. This is terrific. My name is Chris Swersey. I'm Technical Brewing Projects Coordinator for the Brewers Association. And we're coming to a close here, but we have a terrific talk today that our seminar content review committee really, this proposal really resonated with people, and now I can see why. There's a lot of folks in here. So I'll introduce our speaker, Chris Nimsch. Chris has a Bachelor of Science from McGill University in Montreal, Canada, and a law degree. He loves beer more than the law, don't we all? He joined his family business in 1994, and today Profamo has been a supplier of Q&A and process control equipment to the brewing industry since 1976, and now represents 12 different manufacturers from all over the world. I'll let Chris introduce the talk he's about to give, but please join me in welcoming him.
Well, thank you very much, everybody. I normally do a variation of this presentation in front of one, two, or four people maximum. So if I look a little nervous, cut me some slack. And the other thing I wanted to say briefly is, as I give my presentation, I would really welcome any questions you have at that point. Don't wait till the end. If there's something, put your hand up, and we might as well hit it right there. So just a little backstory. This talk is going to be obviously about kegs, mainly stainless steel kegs involving fully automated keg lines. So please, bear with me if, you're putting your kegs in plastic kegs or in wooden barrels. It's not going to apply as much, but some of the principles will still apply. Very quickly, our company is located in Los Angeles, California. And I want to give a quick shout out to my parents, Klaus and Joan, who started the company back in 1976. So they're here to see the talk, so hopefully I'll make them proud. So let's get going talking about kegs. Here's a brief overview of what we're going to talk about. So as I said, mainly stainless steel kegs, and I'm also going to focus on what I believe is very important, which is steam. So we're going to talk about high-pressure steam as well. We're then going to go on to keg monitoring, cleaning, again with an emphasis on saturated steam, talk a little bit about the wooden barrels because I think that's kind of cool, and then we're going to go from the cleaning side to the filling side, and we're going to get into some specific applications for keg monitoring, and I'll hopefully explain to you what that means. We'll do some case studies, some real live data that was collected at some of your breweries possibly. And at the end of the presentation, we're going to actually work with some graphs. And last night I had this brainstorm. And I said, if anybody shows up for my talk, I'd like to offer a little prize for my best student and the person who's got the guts to put their hands up. At the end of my presentation, I'm going to put a slide up, and I'm going to ask you a very simple question. Is it a good cleaning? Is it a good filling? First person to put their hand up and answer it correctly, I'm willing to go to your brewery with my Rotec test keg and do a complimentary survey for you at your brewery, and we can have a look at your keg line. So I'm hoping that's going to entice you to stay to the end of it, but let's see how it goes. Well, that's a picture of a pretty nasty-looking keg, and I'm sure you guys get some of those coming back to your brewery. So the question, something like that's coming back to you, it's been out there maybe for years, you don't know where it's been, you have to clean it and sterilize it and fill it. What does the inside of a keg look like? That's it. And I consider it a black box because most people don't know what's going on inside kegs. And I'm hoping I can show you something that's going to help you with that. It's also an autoclave. And I use the term autoclave because we can put high-pressure steam in there, and that's a good way to sterilize your kegs. So there's six steps in the process, but numbers three and four The ones highlighted in red are the ones I'm going to focus on: the internal washing, disinfection, sterilization, and filling of kegs. Well, when I sent my speech into the BA, they liked it, but they said, you know, we want you to put a little bit more emphasis on a smaller brewery. So I went to my local, Strand Brewing, down in Torrance, California, and I got one of the owners to show me what he does when he does his cleaning of kegs. And there's Rich doing his thing. And maybe a lot of you can relate to that. If you get a little bit bigger, then you start getting more automated. You start having that suction cup device to move the kegs around, and maybe you get to a point someday where you've got a robot doing that for you. Here's the external washer. So sort of the first step in the process, as far as I'm concerned. Basically, we're, you know, that keg's been out in trade, and we want to clean the outside of it. That's great. I'm concerned more with the inside of the keg, okay? So, modern rackers, they come in all sizes, shapes, formats, you name it, but they're all black boxes as far as I'm concerned, and most people truly don't know what's going on with their keg machines, okay? You're looking at gauges, but what's nice to know is what's going on inside your keg. And that's what we're going to focus on today. There's a big boy, okay? And you don't have any idea what's going on in that either. It's a big black box. So how do you know what's going on? Well, one way is you can get yourself a sight glass keg, and maybe you've seen some of those out there. It's a keg with a glass wall on it. You can pop on a manometer. You can maybe stick a temperature sensor out of it, and you get some sort of an idea. Or you can have something called the Rotec keg monitor. And I don't want to be too commercial, but Rotec has a lot of the electronic test keg market. And I represent Rotec, so full disclosure. But it's a great piece of equipment because it allows you to know what's going on in the process inside the only place that's important for you, which is inside your keg. Okay? Any questions so far? I don't see anybody slumped over, so we're doing well. Okay, that's a picture of a very nice sight glass keg. A lot of them look a lot uglier than that, but that's a real nice looking one. And here's a picture, an ugly picture, of what the Rotec keg looks like. And I thought of bringing it back with me to the show because I had it on my booth, but I said, no way, it's there, it's done. So that's sort of what it looks like. And in essence, what it is, it's a keg fitted with a variety of sensors. It's got temperature sensors inside the keg. It has a pressure sensor. It has a volume sensor. And it has a clamp sensor, so we know when we're clamped on a head and when we're traveling to another head. And we collect that data, and we send it into a software program. So if you were to take an X-ray of my Rotec keg, that's what it would look like on the inside, where you've got three different temperature sensors. You have one down here at the neck of the keg. That sensor is not actually touching the keg wall because we want to not know temperatures of the metal, we want to know temperatures of the liquids. We have another one that sits exactly halfway up the keg, the middle sensor, and then one that curls around up to the very top of the keg. So we're getting three different temperature readings every 1/2 second. As I said, we also have a volume sensor, which is basically a ball on a reed switch that floats. Doesn't matter if it's water, caustic, acid, or beer. We'll know how much is inside that keg. And then finally, we'll know, as I said, when you're clamped on a head or when you're off, and when we have a pressure sensor in there as well. So hopefully with this, your keg line is not a black box anymore. So very quick little advertising, I guess you'd call it. But in essence, Rotec is a company that's been doing this for, Justin, 20 years?
25.
25. You can see this slide's an old slide. That gentleman there is Mr. Rotec. That's Justin Walsh. Put your hand up. Thank you. He's been doing this for 25 years, and one of the things that he allows me to do is when I run the keg somewhere in the world, if I don't know the answer, I can shoot Justin an email with a graph, and he will analyze it because he's been looking at every kind of keg line for 25 years. That's an extremely bad picture of what one of the graphs that we will generate from the Rotec keg looks like. We'll have a lot better ones to look at later, but the thing I want to point out to you here is First of all, when we see purple or pink lines on the graph, and that's hard for me to tell because I'm colorblind, that means you have saturated steam. And you're going to hear me say that a lot, saturated steam. The other thing is down here at the bottom of the graph, and I don't want you to sweat it too much, is this is time on this axis. And where we are showing white is where we're clamped on a head, and where it's black, the keg is traveling to the next head. So we can see where we are in the process at any time. And finally, the data is being collected every 1/2 second from all the sensors that are in the keg. Okay, so we're getting a real good picture of what's happening. That's a better picture of a graph from a Rotec keg. And some of the things we're looking at here are, we have, maybe it's hard to see on this graph, and I apologize, but that's a pink line. And pink means saturated steam. And pay attention to that, because that could be a winner down the road, so keep that in mind. So pink is saturated steam. The software allows you to make labels to be able to mark different things in the graph. So if you're the guy who's doing the report, you can go and label your graph for your reporting purposes. And these boxes, which we call inspection boxes, the salmon, pink, and green boxes, those allow you that if you're an operator, for example, to look very quickly after the keg is run down the machine to be able to see if you're having certain problems or if you're within certain specs, because you can look if some of the different colored lines are going into some of those different boxes. It's a very quick way to be able to see what's going on. So what is this Rotec test keg used for? Well, it's a lot of different things. It's used for quality control. So hygiene, again, I'm a big believer in steam. So that's one of the things I'm going to be looking for. We're going to be looking at things like carryovers, or we're going to be looking at temperatures of various chemicals that you're using. It's also used on the filling side of things. Even though this keg, this electronic test keg, doesn't have a sight glass on it, we can tell if you're getting foaming on your fills. And I'll explain that later. But we use the temperature sensors to be able to look at that. And every time you run the keg, you have a graph that it generates. And if you save that graph, you have a record of how your keg line or a particular lane is operating at that particular time. So in case you ever get a complaint from somebody and they say, hey, your beer is really bad, you can go, well, it wasn't bad when I left my brewery because I have a record of what it was like. So maybe the lines in your pub are not so good, or there's an issue on your side of things. Another application for the keg is engineering problem solving. What you do is when I go and see a customer, either I'm doing a consultation at their brewery or they've actually bought a keg, they'll fine-tune everything so they have what is a perfect graph. Everything looks great. We have low DOs, great sterilization, everything looks good, and we keep that as our model graph of when things are great. All of a sudden, 2 weeks down the road, you've got a problem. You've got high DOs, for example. You can take the problem graph and you can drag it and drop it on top of the good graph, and it will allow you to see where the differences are on the lines. It's a quick way to find where the issues are. And then finally, when I'm dealing with some of the bigger breweries, one of the things they're concerned about on top of quality is they're pumping a lot of kegs per hour down their machines, and they want to be able to try and maximize that. And the way they do that is they go and they pull a graph and they look at it and they go, can we shave a couple of seconds off of the fill? Can we shave a few seconds off of this step without any risk to quality? And if they can do that, they're making money. And so this is a good way to be able to look at that. So this is quick, and I'm not going to give you all 30, but those are 30 different examples of the kinds of things that we can see with this electronic test keg. Everything from trickle-down cleaning of the spear to overfills to pressures that are too high at the end of the fill to carryovers, for example. Any questions so far? No? Okay. I'm rolling. So I've only said the words a few times, but you're going to hear it more, saturated steam. And when I was preparing for this speech, I said, well, yeah, I mean, as brewers, We talk about using steam, but in the old days, they used to autoclave everything, all the surgical instruments. And so I said, well, maybe I should look and see what the medical literature talks about when it comes to sterilization. And so I went on the CDC website, and I pulled out some interesting definitions, because people used to use with me the term sterilization and disinfection sort of as if they were the same, and I truly didn't know if there was a difference or not. So here's what they say. Sterilization, and I could read it for you, but I'll let you do it because I'm getting thirsty. But here's the deal. The deal is, if you're sterilizing, all the beer spoilage organisms are dead. There's nothing left, okay? Do you need to go to that level? No, probably not. Not if your kegs aren't traveling very far. You know, depends on the kind of beer you're using. There are some beers, very light Pilsner beers, that are more susceptible to off flavors from the microbes than maybe a big, heavy beer is. But that's a pretty nice place to go where you know that your kegs are absolutely sterile, okay? So what's a disinfection? How does it differ from a sterilization? Well, I learned something. Disinfection is really good, but it doesn't kill everything. There are still some bugs that will survive. And I know different breweries have different specs on what's an acceptable count of microbes. But if you're disinfecting and not sterilizing, you've got some bugs still kicking around. And then people talk about sanitizing kegs. So what's sanitizing mean? How's that different from disinfection and sterilization? Well, again, this is off the CDC website, and they talk about sanitizers, and it says it kills most bacteria. So that seems to be another level, maybe lower than sterilization and disinfection. So let's look at some brewing-specific research, and I'll be really honest with you, there's not much of it. Here's what I dig out, and I put in my presentations all the time. And this comes from work that was done at a brewery in the UK many years ago by Jerry Avis, and Jerry is now a doctor at University of Nottingham, still involved in brewing in a very big way. And what Jerry's team came up with back then was that if you wanted to have an assured sterilization destruction of all beer spoilage organisms, you needed to meet what is a very high level, which is a temperature of 275 degrees Fahrenheit for 1 minute with saturated steam inside your keg. That's tough. I don't see many keg lines that get there. A lot of keg lines could get there after we make some tweaks, and some never have the possibility of getting there. Now be careful, I'm talking about saturated steam, which is different from dry steam. If you look at the right-hand column, you can see a temperature is substantially higher. It takes a long, long time to be able to sterilize your keg. And that's not practical. So you need saturated steam, and saturated steam is the steam that lives in this boundary area between dry steam and wet steam, and water, I'm sorry. That's the saturated steam, and it's based on a pressure temperature table, and the Rotec keg has that table built into the software. And so when you're in that acceptable superheat boundary area, that is when the lines on my Rotec graph turn pink. And that's what we're going to be looking for. If you have pink lines, you have saturated steam. Now, why is saturated steam such a great sterilizer? Well, the reason is because you have water at 100 degrees C. I'll go metric with you for a second. And in order to make that into steam at 100 degrees C, you need to give it a lot of energy to make the phase change. It's not a temperature change, but there's a phase change. Well, conversely, when you go back from the steam back to that water, all that energy that you used to go to steam is now released, and it releases a huge amount of latent energy. And the latent energy, the latent energy is being spread all over every nook and cranny of the keg. So that's why it's very effective as a sterilizer or disinfectant, if you want. So here's a graph. This is a real live graph from a customer. And what I'm looking at is here, there's a long period of time with a pink line. That's a lot of saturated steam inside that keg, and hard to see again, but if you look at the temperatures, we're right up at around 270 degrees Fahrenheit. Remember I said the ideal was 275 for 1 minute? These guys are 270 for 80 seconds. That's pretty darn good. They've done a great job, and they probably have killed everything that was in there. Well, this is a graph that I see all too often. This is the one, as I've heard some people say, that keeps you awake at night. Because if we look at the temperatures that we're reaching, they're not terrible. They're 236 and 249. It's not 275. But also, what's the thing that jumps out at you? There's no pink. If there's pink, you have saturated steam. And the reason these guys don't have it is because you need to remove all the air that's inside the keg, and you need to replace that with steam before you close the keg off and use that time as your sterilization time. And what happened here, they pushed steam through the keg, but they didn't push it for long enough, and therefore they had a steam-air gradient in the keg. And I know there's a gradient because if you look at the temperatures right up here, they're not the same. There's a difference there of maybe 30 degrees or so. So that means you have steam rising to the top of the keg, you have air sinking to the bottom of the keg, you have a gradient. And until you get all the air out, there's my Canadian accent, all the air out, then you have a problem because the steam is being destroyed by the air. Okay? So you need to purge longer. Okay, so I said to myself, well, that's great. So what's the big deal? Let's say you've got a few microbes in there. And I'd never actually seen somebody doing micro testing in a brewery. I'm the one that's always saying, you know, you need to be able to fix your steam up, but I've never looked at actually what's involved on the backside. So bear with me. I'm going to show you some pictures. This is a brewery close to where I live that said, hey, let's show you what we do. And here's what jumped out at me. It's complicated, and it's time-consuming. And if you do it wrong, you're going to get false readings. I mean, look at what they're doing. I mean, that's a keg. I'm going to show you pictures. I'm not going to talk too much. First of all, the tap that they're using to get into that keg, it has to be autoclaved even before they go and they put it on the keg. And it's double bagged. I mean, it's like serious stuff. And here's the quote that the microbiologist gave me. She says, we need universal precautions for aseptic technique. Maintain a sterile field. And you'll see just how serious that is on the next slide. She's going at that keg in the tap with a flame. And she said, flame, flame, flame. Look at all the flames. There's another, you know, another picture. And they bring out a bottle that's being sterilized. And then they flame the bottle before they plate the thing. And then they have to flame the tweezers that they're using to be able to get the plate done correctly. And then, you know, they get the plate, and then they go and they put that the beer sample on the plate, and then they have to incubate it. And it takes quite a while. And then at the end of it, out comes your plate with all the colonies on it. And then you have to go and you have to look through a microscope, and you have to count, or maybe you have an automated counter. It's a big deal. It's complicated. So what I'm saying to you is if you could, wouldn't it be better just to avoid the whole thing and make sure that you're doing a good job with your steam, and then you don't have to worry about that. So, I'm talking about cleaning, sterilizing, disinfecting. I went to my local master brewer's talk at the brewery in Los Angeles, and Carl Oker gave a great talk on how they clean and sanitize barrels. And I went, that's cool. I don't know anything about that because I'm always working in stainless steel with my keg. And this quote came up, and I asked Carl if I could use it, and I saw Dr. Lewis here, and if he's here, thank you. But I think it's great. The only way to sanitize a wooden barrel is with gasoline and a match. And then this picture comes from Stephen Powell's from Boulevard Brewing, and there you go. You know, so you can't use 60 seconds of steam at a temperature of 275 and maintain your pressure in a barrel. So, you know, you have to worry, and you wouldn't want that probably anyway, because some of those microbes are giving you just wonderful flavors in those wooden barrels. And here's the reasons why, you know, the barrels also are more complicated, because stainless steel, at least the walls are really clean. You know, it's easier to clean it, sanitize it, sterilize it, but barrels are tough. Okay, so I'm going to move to the filling side of things now. So if anybody's got any questions on cleaning or sterilization, let me know. I haven't really even talked about caustics and acids, but many automated keg lines obviously do that. They start off with chemical cleaning, and maybe they'll do a caustic soak and then rinse with water and then use acid and then sometimes use steam afterwards. And there's a lot of breweries that rely just on the chemicals. And you have to be really careful. You have to make sure your chemicals are at the right temperature, at the right concentrations, because if not, you don't have the steam to fall back on. So, okay, back to the fill. Remember I said that we didn't need to necessarily have a sight glass on a keg to be able to know if we had foaming when we filled the keg? Well, the way we do that is if you look up here, it says neck temperature, and neck temperature is in green. It's the green line. Well, the other temperature sensor we had in this keg was the middle temperature, and it was brown. So if I look at my temperature lines up here, I have pink. Pink means good. So there's our saturated steam. And what we do is we vent the keg with the steam. We get rid of the steam, and then we start pushing some CO2 into the keg. Okay, because we want to get all the steam out of the keg and replace it with CO2 before we do the fill, and we want to counter pressure our keg. This line here is the pressure line. See, it's color-coded lines. These are all graphs coming from a Rotec keg. And we pressurize the keg, and then we get over here, and now we see the green line go shooting straight down. The green line is the line coming from the temperature sensor at the bottom of the keg. So that makes sense, right? Because your keg is inverted as it's going down the racker, and you're expecting to have the beer come in, hopefully, from the bottom and going up. So you expect the keg, it was very hot after the steam, it sees the cold beer, the temperature goes shooting down. And that's what we're seeing with the green line. And here's the tricky bit, because the middle temperature sensor, the brown one, actually doesn't change very much in temperature until the beer gets halfway up the keg. So later on, 15 seconds, whatever, the keg is half full, and then we see the middle temperature sensor go shooting down. That's a good fill. And the pressures at the end of the fill are another important quality parameter, and that's maybe a tad high, but it's not excessively high. I look at the next graph, a fill with problems, and what I see here is, here's my pink line, saturated steam. What happens is we start putting some CO2 into the keg, but we never actually let the CO2 go out of the keg. It goes in and it sort of gets packed in on top of the steam, and we don't truly have an all CO2 atmosphere in the keg when the beer starts to come in. The beer comes flying into the keg. The pressure drops like crazy because actually we're condensing. The steam is condensing as the cold beer is hitting it. And what do we see? When the beer starts to come in, both temperature sensors, the neck one and the middle one, go shooting down at the same time. What does that mean? Visualize it. You have beer coming from the bottom of the keg in a clean fill with no foaming. It just goes up, 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 and it meets the middle temperature sensor. If you have foaming or beer exploding all over the keg, you would expect as soon as it goes in, the middle temperature sensor also starts to go down because it's seeing the temperature of the foam or even the beer hitting it. So they go down pretty much at the same time. Does that make sense? Because that's a tough sort of concept to get sometimes. Okay, so what the software allows me to do is also to focus in on particular data that's generated. So in this case, all we wanted to look at was what was happening with the volume. How much volume did we have in the keg at any time? And that's the black line. The green line is the rate of filling and emptying. So we took away temporarily the temperature line and the pressure line, and we're only looking at volumes. And this guy is actually using his keg as a fill check at the end. And that little thin red box that's right here, that's the box that is his spec for his fills. So what he wants is he wants to make sure that the black line, which is the amount of liquid he has in the keg, ends up going into that red box. That means he has an in-spec fill. In this case, he's a little bit below the box. It means it's a low fill, and they need to correct that. Okay? Okay, so we're talking about if you're running a lot of kegs per hour down the machine, you would really like to be able to cut the amount of time on that fill head. Very often, the fill head is the rate-limiting step in an automated keg line. And this is an example of somebody who did a before and after study on trying to cut time off the fill head and, of course, doing it without any loss of quality. Well, here's an example of cost saving as well. This slide is showing a pressure profile, the purple line, that's being used to purge the keg of some liquid. And when I see the pressure line start to go down, that means that all the liquid is out of the keg because pressure cannot escape a keg as long as there's liquid in it. The liquid has to be out. The keg has to be empty before the pressure can escape. So when I see a pressure line go up and down, it means the keg is empty. And after a lot of years of looking at these things, Justin Walsh figured out that where there's a shoulder on this pressure line, that means actually that's where the pressure was turned off. So what happened? What happened is that the keg was empty at time 225.5 seconds, but they didn't turn off the sterile air in this case for another 4 seconds after that. And if you're a big brewer with lots of kegs, if you could save yourself 4 seconds of sterile air on every keg you're purging, you're saving a lot of money. And there's a before and after study. And here's another cost-saving slide. A little bit hard to see, a lot of lines up there, but in essence, what happened was down here, the green line was again volume. In a before case, the brown line was volume afterwards, after they fixed the problem. And we saw that you were using a lot less volume of cleaning solutions, and you had a lot less pooling going on in the keg. And as a consequence, you also could save yourself a lot of pressure. Again, if you're using sterile air or who knows what it is, CO2, steam. Oh, great. Hang on. I'll be with you in a second. You're saving yourself money. Thank you very much for the question. I wish I had an answer for that. I don't know. I don't go and ask brewers what they do for that. Justin, do you have any ideas? Okay, thanks for the question. I appreciate that. And if there's any more, fire away. One night, Justin and I had a few too many beers. And we were working at a big brewery, and we looked at 5 different lanes in that brewery, and we dragged and dropped and put them on top of each other. And in essence, that's what that's showing. That's the graphs from 5 different lanes in the same brewery juxtaposed on top of each other. And it wasn't a total waste of time. The beer drinking, that is, but it was also useful because we got to see that there was a big pressure anomaly there. On one of the lanes, the pressures were hugely different than they were everywhere else. So the brewer was able to fix that up. Okay, so what are the various applications for the Rotec keg? Well, there's a lot of them, but routine quality work. I have a customer who runs his keg at the start of every shift. Until he sees the data from that, no keg leaves the brewery. Others do it once a week. Others do it once a month. Others, you don't have the manpower. You do it whenever you got a problem. Depends. As I said earlier, it's used for finding faults and trying to come up with fixes. Try and improve. A big one has been commissioning new rackers, because you guys are doing such a great job, and your craft breweries are growing, and you're going, you know, automated keg lines in a big way. You'll go and you'll do that. You'll get a new keg line in, and very often the technician will tell you everything's great with your keg line. But to be honest, it's a black box for him too. And I've had a few situations where I've been called in and the guy said, yeah, we're ready to go. Let's get kegs going out the door. And the owner said to me, Chris, let's put the Rotec on and see what we see. And I'll show you a graph later on of an example of that. And then there's audits, of course. You know, you can go and you can do periodic audits. So here's, a little brewery that's known quite well, Sierra Nevada. They were probably our first customer for the Rotec keg. They immediately named it the Robo Keg, and that sort of stuck. So it's called the Robo Keg at Sierra Nevada. And recently they called me up to Chico to see if I could find a problem, because they were getting very periodic, higher micros than they were expecting. And I put the keg on, and we ran it down all their lanes, and everything looked exactly the same, except on one of the lanes. And if I look at all those lines, they're pretty much glued on top of each other. That's two different lanes, one on top of each other. But if you go to this part of the graph over here, things look a little different here. So let's zoom in on that. And what we found is that on one of the lanes, they were venting their steam for a longer period of time. And they vented it so long that they were getting very close to a negative pressure. And on the day I was there, they weren't negative, but they were close. And what does a negative pressure do? Well, if you have a keg with a bad seal, and all of a sudden you pull a vacuum in a keg that you've gone to all the trouble of cleaning and sterilizing, you risk pulling in dirty liquid and dirty air back into that keg. And I think we discussed that, didn't we, over lunch the other day? Yeah, so you want to avoid pulling negative pressures in the keg, and Sierra was able to pick that up, and they fixed it. Here's another example. Victory Brewing Company, commissioning a new keg line. They got a new machine. They called me in to have a look at it. And it was great. It was a great machine. But there was a couple of issues, and we were able to solve them. One of them was, and they didn't necessarily see that, but their caustic temperatures were substantially lower than they were expecting them to be. And they were able to fix that. And they got their caustics up to a temperature where they should be. And by the way, if you're ever working with chemicals, people ask me, well, what should the temperature be? And I go, I don't sell chemicals. Talk to your chemical supplier and ask them what's the optimum temperature for your caustic, your acid if you're using it, because you don't want to heat it up too high, because then you denature the chemicals, but you don't want to make it too cool either. And Victory has great steam, okay? And at the end of the fill, and I'll get into this in more detail later, their pressures were too high, and they had a broken pressure controller of some nature at the end of the fill. They had too much pressure at the end of the fill, too much top pressure. So we fixed that. I had an interesting little case recently at Ballast Point. Ballast Point bought an old racker, and they had Keith Brochette. Is Keith here? I guess he's gone back already, but Keith is a real smart guy. And he was hired to go and help Ballast get this keg line exactly where it should be. And so I worked with Keith, because I ran the Rotec keg, and he was able to make changes to the program. You know, we'd look and go, Keith, could you do that? Could you open that valve for another 2 seconds? Said, absolutely. And away he goes, and he does it. And so we commissioned Ballast Point's keg line. And initially, temperatures were too low, because the pressures were too low, and they were flirting with negative pressures. And these are things that they wouldn't have known otherwise, but we were able to see it, and because Keith is such a smart guy, he was able to fix it. And in essence, our temperatures came up, pressures came up, and we were able to get into the program and make those changes. Another one, Russian River. Is Vinny here? Darn. He got a new keg line. Hired me to go up to do a consultation, which I'd love to do at any of your breweries, and somebody's going to get a free one. He said, bring your Rotec keg, Chris. I'm getting a new keg line. And in essence, what ended up happening was I looked at the graph, And I was able to see that there were two major issues. We had the technician there. We could make the changes. We were able to get a complete purge of the keg. We got all the steam out of the keg. And we were also able to make sure that we got, we had no saturated steam, and we were able to fix that up by making the steam purge longer. But it was interesting because I think his DO levels going to the keg line were down below 20 ppb. And in the first kegs that we saw, and I told him, I said, I'm worried about your CO2 purge. I think there's some steam that's condensing into your beer. DO values were up over 650 ppb. And that was just steam condensing in the keg. So we fixed it. Okay, so I got to get rolling here fast. I'm going to look at four graphs. I'm going to show you the software, how it really works, because I just showed you screenshots before. So now we're working on live graphs. And I have to thank the guy from the company that does the presentations stuff. He was able to do this, and it's really cool. So there's a Rotec graph. And this comes from somebody who doesn't have any steam on their line. It's basically just a manual keg cleaner. And what we're seeing is those three lines, neck temperature at the bottom, red in the middle, green at the top, and pressure. And all we're seeing is we're getting pulsed washings. And the software allows me to be able to find out what the temperature is at any place in the graph. By just double-clicking, I get this red line that comes up. And as I move it around, I see that box on the left-hand side. That gives me the data values. So what are the temperatures there? So in this particular case, we're up at around 150 degrees Fahrenheit. Okay, so if he's using caustic, that's probably a pretty good range. And that's what they're doing. There's no steam. It's just chemicals. So he has to make sure his chemicals are spot on. Okay, I'll show you another graph. Here's an example of poor steam. And the reason I say it's poor steam is because I'm going to zoom in on the part of the graph where the steam is. And here's my favorite question. Do you see pink? Answer is no. No pink, no saturated steam, no possibility to sterilize the keg with the steam. And why don't we have steam there? Again, because we're not purging all the air out of the keg. We have some air left in there, and the steam is not able to do its job. And if I look at temperatures right there, I open up my little data tracker. Temperatures are 265. So good temperatures, but no saturated steam. And here's improved steam. I have pink. How long do I have pink for? There's a couple of ways of doing it with the software, but I'm going to cheat because I'm running out of time. And I have pink for, I have an out of control mouse. Tools, summary, and it tells me I have saturated steam above the critical temperature, which I set at 260 degrees for about 13 seconds. Well, it's better than it was before. It was at zero before. Okay. So who's going to play the game? Because I'm running out of time. Here's the test. Okay? So first hand up to tell me if it's a good cleaning or a bad cleaning. Good filling or bad filling? Dun, da, da, da. Yes, sir, here. That's the first one I saw. Yes. Yes to what? How do you know? Correct. And we have it for, I'm just going to quickly see how long we have it for. You're doing great so far. You're halfway there. I've got saturated steam at a temperature of 265 degrees, and I've got it from time 239 until time 313. I'm tired. Somebody do the math for me, but I know it's more than 60 seconds. Okay? Okay, so now the fill. You don't live in Idaho or Alaska, do you?
No.
Okay. Oh, that's good for me. Okay, I'm pulling for you. Okay, that's the fill. I know that because I see the temperature lines go down. Is it good or bad? And why? I'm pulling for you because you're close to me. I'm going to give you five.
I say the fill is good.
Why?
Okay,
that would have been earlier on with the steam, and certainly you're right, there's no negative pressure just in front of it. Temperature sensors, anything that jumps out at you there? Okay. I'm not coming to see you. Right, so what are you looking at in particular to know if you're getting foam? Right. Exactly. The middle temperature is staying very flat after the beer comes into the keg. Okay? It's really flat here. And that means that there's no foaming. So you both win. I'll go and see both of you, okay? Great. Any questions? What I'm going to be able to tell you is, what you're talking about, my presentation or the data from the keg? I'll be able to tell you what the temperatures are and what the pressures are and how much you have in the keg. I don't have a conductivity sensor in there, so I don't know what's in there. You have to tell me. I have to know the Racker program. Okay? Yes. That's correct. And there's been a lot of talk about low pressure steam. That's right. Yep. Yes, sir. Yes.
Can I use that fill level to verify the level of using the check layer or something else?
Absolutely. Yes. It's a nice backup to have as well. You know, you can put them on the scale, but we haven't talked to them about that. Yep, I haven't talked to them. I do want more questions, but quickly, I don't want to forget the acknowledgments either. So Justin Walsh, thank you. Philip Baines from Lembrex, thank you. Brewers Association, Chris, thank you very much for letting me do this. And then all of those breweries that I mentioned in my presentation. And in particular, I also want to thank Kathleen Lawson from Miller Coors and Rich Marcello, my local guy. And so now, back to the questions, sorry. Well, keg technic, are you thinking like... Yeah, sure. I mean, as long as we're filling a stainless steel keg with a valve on it, we can equip any size keg with the electronics to be able to put temperature sensors, as long as we have room for sensors in there. So we're doing sextils, quarters, and halves. Is that what you were asking? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Do you want to feel that one, Justin? Anybody else? Yes, sir. Well, the negative pressures typically come up when you're dealing with steam, because steam is the one that's going to go and condense as it cools down. So as far as negative pressures with chemicals, just chemical machines, I don't know if I've ever seen that with a Rotec keg. Time for one more. No more? And I come and see me afterwards and over there, and we'll arrange how I can get over to see you. Thank you very much, everybody. I really appreciate it.
Brian.